do you think of as the dirtiest, most humble, and undesirable job? Would you be willing to do that for the sake of Jesus Christ?
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the tempering of souls. I use that metaphor from the tempering of very famous swords called Damascus blades. In order to temper that steel to its hardness and elasticity, they have to be plunged into ice water and then into fire, alternately. Ice water and fire. Amy Carmichael's aim in the training of her children was to teach them to be willing to take any hard thing, anywhere, anytime, to teach them to come out of themselves and to lay down their lives for the sake of others. Is this principle going to sell in America? Probably not. I don't think it has ever been very saleable. But it is the way of the cross. It's what Jesus called His disciples to do. In the world, He said, you will have tribulation. But never mind, cheer up, be of good courage, He said, I have overcome the world. In what sense had He overcome the world? Does it mean that there was no hardship in His life? Well, obviously not. Amy had all kinds of wonderful ideas about training her children. She loved children. She was a delightful playmate with them at times. She was also their mother. And one of the things that was a rule in Donavore was that music was never an accompaniment to conversation. If there was music, then conversation had to cease, and everyone learned to be quiet and to listen. She believed strongly in scripture and hymn memorization. And the children learned hundreds of scripture verses and hundreds of hymns and songs. They were taught to work. They were given vegetable and fruit and flower gardens. And when they grew the fruit and the flowers and the vegetables, then they were sold to the housekeeper. There was a housekeeper in charge of all the supplies for this very large family that numbered as many as 700 children at one point, with over 200 workers. And so the children were permitted to sell their vegetables and fruit and flowers to the housekeeper. The money was put into little clay banks, which were ceremoniously smashed once a year. Excellent way of teaching your children how to use money, the value of money. Give them the opportunity of earning money, and then teach them to save it. She didn't believe in long prayer meetings. Some of the things that I've said about Amy Carmichael may make you think that she was so spiritual that she was just way out of sight, way beyond being very practical. Nothing could be further from the truth, actually. She remembered the long prayer meetings of her childhood and how she used to pass the time by counting up in the hymn book, for example, all the things a dying soul is supposed to say at the exact moment of departure. Things like, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. She was convinced that that sweet hour of prayer must be the prayer meeting that she was having to sit through. And it was a delightful prospect to her that someday she was going to be able to say farewell to that. She remembered the firstly, secondly, thirdly, and finally, and in conclusion of those long Irish sermons. And she decided that she would spare her children such pains. Meetings would be short. The space of half an hour, the Bible says, sufficed in heaven for the ultimate act of adoration, silence. You can check that out in Revelation, verse 1 of chapter 8. Silence followed the opening of the seventh seal. and there was silence for the space of half an hour. Why shouldn't it suffice? In Donavur. For, as Amy said, the human soul should not be drawn out like a piece of elastic and held so for too long a stretch. A mother needs to root her children strongly. And the tree with the strongest roots is the tree on which the winds have blown. And when the winds blow, the roots take an even firmer grip. She taught discipline and hardness to prospective recruits as well. I have read hundreds of the letters that she wrote to people who had volunteered to come and serve in Donavur. And this is what she wrote to one of them. "Not a word of attraction can I write. It will be desperately hard work. Iron would snap under the strain of it. I ask for steel, that quality which is at the back of all going on, patience which cannot be tired out, and love that loves in very deed unto death." And it was not only of foreigners that she expected this. Some newly converted caste men, Indian men, were set to work hewing stones and digging foundations for the forest house in the presence of low-caste coolies, a terrible insult, unheard of in India for a man to do work that belonged to a caste below his own. So no sterner test could have been applied to prove the validity of their faith, and Amy wanted to prove the validity of their faith. She said grace in teaspoons would have sufficed for a preaching tour. In other words, if she had asked these newly converted caste men if they would like to go on a preaching tour, it would have taken only a few teaspoons of grace for them to assent. "It is honorable to preach," wrote Amy, who had seen enough of those who followed Christianity for its prestige. But ditch digging, that was another story. Ditch digging lends dignity to nobody. Grace in rivers was required for this, she said. And day by day, she watched them grow in manliness. What do you think of as the dirtiest, most humble, and undesirable job? Would you be willing to do that for the sake of Jesus Christ? Amy Carmichael looked for those with the Spirit of Christ who was willing to wash the disciples' feet. One of the questions that she would ask prospective recruits was, "Do you truly desire to live a crucified life?" Referring, of course, to Paul's word in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you desire to live a crucified life? Where do you expect to find that cross? It will be in your ordinary, everyday duties. At home, first of all, in your place of work, in the grocery store, on the bus, in your driving on the highways. Is the rule of your life my life for yours? Or is it, I'm going to do my thing and I can climb all over you in order to make myself feel good? A crucified life is a total identification with Christ in his death. It may mean death to my neat little plans. It will undoubtedly mean for all of us, at times, interruptions, setbacks, and for my husband Lars and me, occasionally canceled flights. All are meant to temper our souls. Another question that she wrote to her recruits was, "Does the thought of hardness draw or repel you? Can you tell me any experience which brought you into a new union with the crucified, risen, and enthroned Lord?" And then she wrote in capital letters, "Do not come unless you can say the cross is the attraction." Another one of Amy's marvelous little books is called His Thoughts Said, His Father Said. And the books that I'm quoting to you during these programs are all in print. She wrote about 40 books. Only 14 of them are in print, but I'm quoting from books which are in print. So run to your nearest bookstore and see if you can find them, and if you can't, you make sure that your bookseller orders them for you. This is from one called His Thoughts Said. The Father said, "Art thou willing to be crucified?" The Son answered, "By thy grace I am willing." And incidentally, Son is with a small letter, not a capital, so she's not referring to Jesus here. These are dialogues between God and a human being, undoubtedly herself, but she uses a masculine noun. His Father said, "Art thou willing to let thy Lord choose thy cross and the nails that shall pierce thy hands and thy feet?" The Son answered, "My Lord shall choose what he will." His Father said, "Art thou willing that thy house on earth may be a little emptier, so that my house may be the fuller?" The Son was silent for a while. At last he answered, "I am willing." Then the Father loved the Son very dearly. Another one. His thoughts said, "I could do better work for my Lord if it were not that I am tired. I am tired of being tired." His Father said, "Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Art thou not willing to be wearied with thy journey? Many are wearied in the service of self, the world, earthly glory. Thou art loosed from that bondage. Rejoice in thy liberty to be weary for his sake who loved thee and gave himself for thee. Abide in his love, and thou shalt learn to give as he gave, even in weariness, to live as he lived, more than conqueror over the flesh." The tempering of souls. May God help us to be Damascus blades.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.